Praise the Lord. We want to turn into the book of Romans for our message today. Romans chapter 12, continuing on, verse 9 is where we're at today, to the end of the chapter. Romans chapter 12 and verse 9 to 21. And the scripture says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine. I will repay,' says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Father, I thank you for your holy word, and speak to us today, instill your word deep in our hearts that we would be better servants, better dedicated servants to you, Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you do your work in each of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think we see that verse 9 is the beginning of a list of at least 20 commands regulating Christian brotherhood. You know, Paul the Apostle, he gives us the theology first. In all his books, you read the theology, and then after he's given you the theology, then he turns to the practical day-to-day life and how we are to live. And he gives us practical steps. And so he wants us to put our theology into practice. It's good to have theology, but you can have all the theology in the world if you're not living it. What good is that? You need to live what you believe. You need to live the teaching of Scripture. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. He's giving us how to live a dedicated life for Christ. And so, you know, in our life, many times there's hard situations. Relationships are of primary importance in the Scripture, but also in our lives, right? I mean, if your house burns down and you still got your family, well, who, you know, I know you're sad to lose your house, but you got your family. And that's the most important part, I believe, in all of our lives. The most important aspect and gift that you have would be your family members. You want to have your family with you. And so relationships are very important. And relationships also are tough. Many times there's all kinds of problems in relationships. And you know, if you grow up in a dysfunctional home, you may learn many poor relationship skills. You may adopt all kinds of things that are wrong. And it's only when you come to Jesus Christ that he helps us to overcome those wrong attitudes and the whole concept of how you live with each other. Many brilliant people are failures in life simply because they're unable to work harmoniously with others. Many people have grown up holding grudges. I know I was one, grew up holding grudges, running from people if you disagree with them, or being angry all the time. You know, there's no better place to look than the Bible for a guide on how to live. You want to know how to live? Get into the Holy Word. And that's what we find, all kinds of theology in Romans, but now he comes to where the rubber hits the road. And he's telling us that we can live a dedicated life of service. You and I can be dedicated in our service to God. And in this section of Scripture, I find three necessities to have a dedicated life for Christ. The first is that you and I need to walk in love. And that's pretty easy, pretty straightforward, right? That we would walk in love. That's what he says. Let love be without hypocrisy. Christian love is to be genuine or sincere. No hypocrisy. There's nothing more repulsive than hypocrisy. You know, making an outward show of love while in reality possessing ill will and hatred to imitate. I think you imitate Judas Iscariot when you do that. I remember many years ago in Bible college, we had a special service and there was one brother at the pulpit and he was going on and on and on about this other brother who I know he did not like. But as he went on, and he started to, tears started running down his face as he's waxing eloquent. And a good friend of mine sitting beside me says, "Brother George, those are crocodile tears." That's what they were, because it wasn't genuine. It was coming from a heart that was trying to show how much he loved this guy, when really we knew he didn't. And so that's hypocrisy. You don't show that kind of love when you don't have that kind of love. You need to be genuine. Be genuine. That's what the Scripture's telling us. No one should make a pretense to love just to achieve his own selfish will. Walking in genuine love means hating evil and loving righteousness. Genuine love is always being guided by good and by God. But genuine love, the motive behind that is to bless, is to show God and goodness. Displaying love is a kind of love that should exist in all families. I know in Kingdom Kids, it's awesome to see and hear stories about, Naomi tells me how many kids, they save points up there, and after you get so many points doing the Bible reading, memory verse, whatever it is, then they can go and buy in the store, and she's got all kinds of gifts there. And how awesome it is to hear of a kid who's saving all these things, and then he goes and buys this gift, and he turns it around and gives it to his sister or to the brother. And that's genuine love. Right? You wait and spend, you know, you're waiting to build up, and then you bless someone. When someone in the family of God is honored, we should all praise the Lord and be as excited about it as though it was one of our children. Honor one another above yourself. The Bible says they'll know we're the Lord's disciples by our love one for another. In John 13, 34, 35 says, "A new commandment I give unto you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Amen. You know, we saw the video for the Seasoned Saints on Friday. And you see Paul advocating, love one another. Love is what will defeat the enemy. Love is the standard. And many there, when they were being burnt and all the different things that happened to the Christians, there were some in the Christian community who said, "We need to defend ourselves. We need to stand up." And that was their desire to fight against the Romans. The Apostle Paul said, "You need to love. Love is what will break the yoke." And the Roman Empire is gone, but the Christian church is still here today because of the love that's demonstrated through Christians. Wherever we go, you know, love is a fire. and it touches people. That's what we need to do. We are to be passionately serving God with enthusiasm and fervency, as verse 11 says, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. True love is generous, open-hearted, and willing to share. And also, love perseveres, as we read in verse 12, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. I believe that as afflictions come, trials come, that's all part of our life on this earth, but love perseveres. Through all those trials, demonstrate the love of Christ. Being devoted in prayer towards God. You know, Romans 8:28 is a powerful verse that one of our favorites. It says, we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. All things work together for the good. So when bad things come your way, don't cry in despair, but give God the glory and look for his plan in that storm. God's going to take you through that storm. Be devoted in prayer towards God, as verse 12 talks. Always have open communication with your heavenly Father. Don't let anything come between you and your Father. You need to spend time with your Father. And then also verse 13 says, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Benevolence is a trait that should be in the lives of Christians. Always ready to reach out and bless someone. Every believer should identify himself with the needs of others and make them his own. Manifest hospitality. Verse 15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. So empathy should be a part of our lives, where we feel the pain or the joy of those around about us. You know, is love, the love of Christ, a constraining and compelling force in your life? Does Christ and his love compel you? Is your life marked by joy, steadfastness, and genuine piety? Well, a dedicated life of service is possible if we walk in love. But also the second necessity is walk in humility. And verse 16 says, be of the same mind towards one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. You know, don't think more highly of yourselves than you ought to think. Be humble. Be satisfied with the place that God has given you. A man should not aspire to something that's not in the will of God for him. You know, many times people have a real gift, but they're not satisfied with that gift. They want what brother so-and-so has or sister so-and-so. They want somebody else's gift. Well, God's the one who gives the gift, and we need to be submitted to him. We need to be devoted to him. So whatever gift he's given you, exercise that gift for God. Don't be always looking over the fence. Don't look for somebody else's gift. Exercise your own gift. We all are special and unique people of God. And he's given us a gift. I don't care how old or how young you are, you have a gift. God gives us all gifts. And you need to know what that gift is. And if you don't, ask God to show you what gift he's given you. And then exercise that gift. You know, if you get gifts and you don't exercise them, what do you think happens to those gifts? You know, we need to exercise those gifts that God gives us. I know many times there's a prompting of the Spirit of God, speaking of the spiritual gifts now, for speaking in tongues and interpretation or prophecy or whatever. I know that there's a message that should be there, but it doesn't come forth because somebody's holding back. I believe that. I believe in the house of God. You need to give forth the message God gives you. When God prompts you and He's given you a gift, use it for His glory. God will be blessed, the church will be blessed, and you'll be blessed. I know He's given us all gifts to exercise. And everybody has a different gift, but exercise those gifts for God. When we exercise our gifts, we must not be haughty or proud, because those gifts come from the Lord. And praise Him for the gift. G. Campbell Morgan, he stated, there's always danger that a person having solemnly dedicated everything to God should on that very account become proud. And there's no pride more dangerous and more objectionable than spiritual pride. Watch out for spiritual pride. Have you ever heard someone say to you, I heard from God, so you need to listen to me and what God has told me. You ever had that experience in your life? I know I got saved back in 1968, 50 years ago. And 1968, Christmas Eve is when I got saved. And that summer, the following summer, July and August of 1969, my sister was getting married, and her husband Bill had family from Minnesota, and they came to the wedding, and there was a nice gal named Donetta that was there, and her mom Marion, and I was young in the Lord, and I had felt called to go to Bible college, and I went to Minneapolis in September for Bible college. And you know, Donetta was living down there in Minnesota, and her mother Marion came to me and she said, George, God showed me that you and Donetta were meant for each other. And I was, you know, 6 months old in the Lord, so who was I to question this lady of God? Who was I? So I said, oh, okay. So, you know, we dated a little bit, but didn't really work out. You see, my wife's name is Moira. And so I experienced young in the Lord, people trying to push you around, people trying to get you to do something in the name of God. Like, they heard from God. I remember pastoring in Edson. And I was in my office, and this guy comes in, you know, into church, and I went to meet him. He said, hello, I'm evangelist Ronnie E. Caldwell. And I was in the restaurant next door here, and the Lord spoke to me. And He told me, go over to that log church, and that pastor has $200 for you. And I said, oh, God never spoke to me. And I think if I'm going to do something, God is going to tell me. And you need to get that kind of spirit in you so that when people come with a holy word from God for you that He hasn't spoken to you, beware. There's many spiritual proud people that are trying to manipulate you. And that's not part of God's church. I know there can be a word from God that comes from somebody to you. But when it comes trying to manipulate you, beware.
That's right.
Beware. Hear from God yourself. God speaks to us individually. And you need to know His voice. Anyway, this Ronnie E. Caldwell was a false prophet. He was not of God at all. He caused me a lot of problems. He went up to Hinton, caused the pastor in Hinton a lot of problems. They had to call the police. I didn't have to do that. But beware. There's lots of people trying to use their spiritual connection with God to impose their will on you. That is not of God. And I learned that 6 months in the Lord when I was a little baby. I know you got to listen to God. Don't let anything or anyone try to get you to do anything based on what they heard from God. You can hear from Him yourself. And the scripture says, be of the same mind towards one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. So, this is a quotation from the teachings of Proverbs, and it emphasizes the spirit of humility that we should have concerning our gifts and our blessings. Just because you have a certain gift, you don't have to be proud about it. Be humble and exercise that gift for God. And then we need to associate with the lowly, as he says here. Love does not manifest itself in refusing to associate with those of a lower class. There is no caste system in the Christian church. There may be rich people and poor people, but we're all equal in the eyes of God. And so there's not one better than another. And it's so fantastic how the Spirit of God works. You know, I grew up with an inferiority complex, didn't feel I was good as anybody else. I remember many times feeling I wasn't as good as anybody else. Till I came to Jesus Christ. When I found Christ as my Savior, when He came into my heart and life, I realized Jesus died for me. I'm as good as anyone else because He died for me. I'm not any better than anyone else, but I'm as good as anyone else. I remember saying that in our church here, and one brother took me to task on that. You're being arrogant. You're being proud. I'm not being proud. I'm giving God the glory because He changes us and He moves in our hearts and empowers us to be powerful for Him. A dedicated life of service is possible if we walk in love, if we walk in humility, and thirdly, walk in patience. Verses 19 to 21. Verse 19 says, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. You know, it's always tough when people do you dirt, when people do you wrong. The natural reaction is to strike back. Naturally, we want to strike back. But the Word of God teaches us you need to be different. You need to have the patience of Christ in you. And never take your own vengeance. Be patient. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And that's a quote from Deuteronomy 32 and from Hebrews chapter 10. Francis Bacon said, by taking revenge, a man is but even with his enemies. But in passing over it, he's superior. That's how we win battles. Don't take revenge, but bless them. As he says in verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Verse 17 says, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. The natural reaction is to pay back evil for evil. When you're hurt, you want to strike back. But God's way is to pray for them. God's way is to do good to them. You know, we're not normal people. We're peculiar people in a strange land. We're just traveling through and we're going to our home. So we are different. And the world looks at us and they think you're crazy. I know there's situations where you receive all kinds of pain and your natural reaction is to fight back. But it's better to let the Lord deal with the situation. Amen. Leave it to God. We can destroy ourselves by hostility and anger towards others. The effects of holding a grudge are very serious. Modern medicine has shown that emotions such as bitterness and anger can cause problems such as headaches, ulcers, high blood pressure, and heart attacks, just to name a few. So, don't do yourself in. Honor God. Love God. And do what He says to do. when we do not love our enemies but strike back at them, we're usurping God's prerogative to mete out justice. The Bible says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. But seeking revenge really inflicts great harm on ourselves. I remember years ago, Mario and I pastored Empress, and dear Sister Rivers, one of the old saints of God. We were having tea at her house, and she told me a story, because we were talking about vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And she told us this story. She said, "I remember when I was a little kid," and she was in her 80s, I think, or close to 80 at that time. So she was thinking way back, and she said, "When I was a little kid, I'd go to school, and there was this bully there. And he sat behind me, and he pulled my hair, and he did all kinds of things that bugged me." And she said, "I came to school one day with a brand new pencil, a special pencil. And I was so proud of that pencil. And you know what this bully did? He grabbed my pencil out of my hand and he broke it in half." And she said, just the Sunday before that, she said, "We were studying this scripture, 'Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay.'" So I remembered that. It came to me when that boy broke my pencil. And I said to him, "God's going to get you." Well, I don't know about all the theology behind that, but the next week, the boy came to school and he had a broken arm. And she said, "I never forgot that. I never forgot the power of God to bring about what he says in his word." And, you know, we don't do that, you know, to hope that God's going to knock them flat. But sometimes we're tempted to do that. So leave it to God. He does a much better job than we do. We need to be able to bless our persecutors. We definitely need the enabling power and the infilling of the Holy Spirit to do what's right. Patience is a virtue which will definitely help you to display the love of Christ. We return evil with good. We are to bless those who persecute us. Feed your enemies and give them drink. That's a Christ-like attitude we should have in dealing with those who are opposed to us and out to harm us. And this teaching is repeated in Proverbs. Jesus taught this principle in the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5, verse 44. He says, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." There's many, many illustrations of how God in the lives of people have blessed their persecutors. I remember years ago, remember the Washington sniper and how he shot people from the tower in Washington. And a brother of the victim that was shot, he was on TV being interviewed, and he said, "I'm praying for that sniper." That's the Spirit of Christ. When people do you wrong, you pray. Remember that fella down here, Camrose, the guy, Dale, Tabor, that's where it was. And he started to witness and show the love of Christ to those that killed his son. That's the Spirit of Christ. When we will spread the love of Christ rather than the hate that exists in the world. We're in a world that's full of hate, that's full of anger. And we need to be the grace of God. We need to be the love of God to those around about us. The world does not understand the Spirit of Christ. When we respond to tragedy as Jesus would, Romans 12:20 says that the purpose of these kinds of deeds is for in so doing you will heap coals of fire upon his head. This does not mean that Christians are to show kindness to the enemy in order that God's wrath might be more severe upon them. This would be a malicious motive, right? displaying an attitude completely contrary to the spirit of Christian love. The whole aim of doing good to our enemy is to make him ashamed and lead him to repentance. In other words, the best way to get rid of an enemy is turn him into a friend. Start to show the love of Christ. The Spirit is throughout the whole New Testament. That's the Spirit of the New Testament. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to 12, the Bible says, "To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. For the one who desires life to love and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Jesus gives us the greatest example when he prayed on the cross, and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Remember also Stephen, when they were stoning Stephen, and he said, "Lord, do not lay this sin to their charge." Every time we return evil with good, we're overcoming it. When hatred is met by more hatred, it only increases hatred. But when hatred is met with love, you defeat hatred. So a life of dedicated service is possible for believers by walking in love, by walking in humility, by walking in patience. In the name of Jesus Christ, encouraging smiles should be given. Kind words should be spoken. Loving deeds performed. So let me ask you a question. Are you manifesting the transformed life in all your relationships? Does the love of Christ come out in your relationships? What or who controls you? I came across a revealing question, and it's a powerful question that I want to ask you now. Would you do for gold what you would not do for God? Would you do for gold what you would not do for God? In other words, if you're not attending prayer services or Bible study now, would you start going if you were paid to go? Huh? Or if you're to witness, if you were paid for all the souls you witness to, would you do more? Would you witness more? Or would your contributions to the work of Christ be more generous if such investments brought guaranteed financial returns? If these questions disturb you because they call for a reluctant yes, it is apparent that you're more willing to do something for gold than for God. So, who's your God? Is gold your God, or is Christ your God? Are you willing to serve Christ because you love him? Does he have paramount impact on your life? Are you willing to devote yourself totally to Jesus Christ in all areas? Are you surrendered to him? Or is it, if I feel like it, I will? How is your commitment to Christ? I pray that our service to God would be from an overwhelming, overflowing, wholehearted devotion to Christ. May our service come from a heart of love. We want to have a heart of love guiding and directing us. Make your sincere desire to please Him first and foremost, so that we are truly serving the Lord. Dedicated service is from the heart, and it's possible for us to have a dedicated life, a dedicated service, by walking in love, by walking in humility, and by walking in patience.